You're listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. For more information and to support the show, head to wespeakcommon.com.
Welcome to this episode of Tavern Talk on the We Speak Common network. This show is made possible by our wonderful Patreon supporters and incredible partners at the Dice Dungeon, where you can get 10% off your entire order with the code WESPEAKCOMMON at checkout, as well as our partners at Describe, spelled D-S-C-R-Y-B, where you can find amazing box text as well as descriptions, and with the code COMMON at checkout, you can save 10% off each month on your subscription for the first 2 years. Now, settle in by the fire, because this is Tavern Talk.
Hi, Dave.
How are you, my friend?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm okay.
You okay?
I'm okay.
It's been a long day, hasn't it?
It's been a day.
You're going to have the next 40 minutes of hell with me.
40 minutes.
Feel even longer.
God.
I know. When I'm here, I can't stop talking. The episode gets ended.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. Well, I say I'm good. I'm in the hell of creating a new character, which will be explained
shortly
in the length of this episode. So that's something I hate doing with a passion, but
we've talked about a lot recently. Which is quite funny.
So it's just weird that we're in this situation. But otherwise, I'm good. It's nice to be back in the tavern. I've got a glass of wine.
I've forgotten my drink, which is hard.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Would you like to go and get one? Do you want to go and see the barman?
No, you're okay.
Are you sure you're okay?
Yeah, I don't have any mixes. So I mean,
there's nothing wrong with drinking straight whiskey.
Oh, God.
Do you know what?
Not a work night.
We joke, but a few years ago, probably talking about, probably 7 or 8 years ago. So when I was like 21, 22.
Yeah.
I was living with my partner and a roommate, and I came home one night after work, and the roommate was someone I worked with. Mm-hmm. She was on the news team, I was a presenter, and it had been one of those days where like you get home and you're like, oh God, I need a drink, you know?
Yeah.
And at 21 or 22, I walked in, they were in the kitchen, I was like, how's it going? And they were like, yeah, good. I was like, how's your day? I was like, yeah, my day was fucking fine. Pulled out the whiskey, poured a quick shot and just downed it. And then had another one and was like, cool, I'm good now. And it's the first time I've ever gone, oh. That's what drinking is.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah.
It's the only time I ever did it. But
that's how alcohol begins.
I had to make a choice right there in that moment. Yeah. So good thing I don't have an addictive personality, he says, looking at his D&D bookshelf.
Yeah. I also made a decision basically not really ever drink more than one drink in the week. Like if I have a drink in the week, I'll have just one.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I stop myself from buying wine normally because I'll only buy myself a bottle of wine if it's been ages and I want one because I like I'm a wine drinker. I like wine. Or if I'm cooking with it.
Yeah, because it's a good excuse. It's a good excuse.
I'll have a glass of wine with my dinner
with your drink. Yeah,
nice
exactly.
Bottle of wine,
yeah.
You know? as is being witnessed.
Right. Currently, I'm a red wine drinker myself.
I don't mind red, but I prefer white.
Really?
White is my go-to.
White
anyway,
to me.
Anyway, we should not talk about this.
Yeah, white to me just tastes like vinegar. But anyway.
What is wrong with you? A nice pinet de picpoul.
Sorry, no idea what it is.
It's good stuff, man. And it's vegan. Anyway.
Great. I just hope so it's made out of grapes.
But wine is like filtered through fish skin and stuff. So it's pretty gross when you think about it. Anyway, we're not here to do any of that shit before people start getting angry at me. I've just seen, sorry, for those that don't know, I live with Wesley now.
You do? That's an update. Has that been mentioned before?
I don't know, actually. I think it has. He's moved days. We're roommates now, which is lovely. I've known him for 23 years of my life and we've never lived together, so this is fun. But his We've got a room in our house. We call it the snug.
Yeah.
And it's basically a big empty room. The idea being that we will eventually put a table in here in the middle of the room for D&D and stuff. But our computers are in here. So we've got one corner is Grace, our other roommate's corner. One corner's mine, one corner's Wesley's. And ours are at the back of the room. We've got a door to the deck and the garden in between us.
Yeah.
And we're both facing the windows looking out. So when we're sat in here together, we're like next to each other. Yeah. It's quite cute. But I'm looking over and I can see two D&D dice just scattered on the floor. And I'm like, what's happened here? Because we haven't played Dungeons and Dragons this week. What? Like, and now I'm thinking maybe the cat's got them.
So was he rolling them when we did our session zero, though?
They are D10s. Maybe.
There we go, yeah.
That would be what it is, yeah. And he's, like, somehow rolled them on the floor over to my... anyway, me and Wesley live together. That's fun. Let's talk about what we're going to talk about, shall we?
We probably should.
Yeah, we ain't got a lot of time. You like to limit me on these episodes.
I like to contain them.
Contain the Ben. Do you want me to just...
You go. This go is all it? You, Ben. This is all okay. You.
Okay, fine. So, long-time listeners will know who Orlo is.
Mm-hmm. If not, quick reminder.
He's a wizard. I play him. I have been playing him for the last 3 and a bit years, I think.
A while, yeah.
A long time. Currently level 16. I play him in the game that James runs.
Yeah, Tyranny.
Which Dave is in and Wesley is in. And so we've talked about him a lot because over the years he's made some good topics, because at one point I've been a DM that he's been the world of.
Yeah, and you like DMPC'd him a bit and like...
Yeah, but I don't like to use
it's
that
not
phrase.
Yeah, it's not like actually like that, but you did.
He was just there, and if the players ever wanted to go to him, they could, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But he never did anything without being asked. That was kind of my rule. He is a lich, so I play... He's a player controlled lich now.
He's a fully lich, yeah.
Which is something we've talked about before. Me and James did an episode on that.
Yeah.
On Tinker's Toolbox and how we were doing that. And yeah, so there's just, and because I've been playing him for 3.5 years, when we've talked about our experiences in game, people have heard about him and picked up bits of his story. So
yeah,
he is a character I play. And
he is a character you play.
Well, yeah. And I learned something about him recently, and by recently I mean the last 2 weeks, which now that I've realized it is like glaringly obvious, but the man's a sociopath.
Yeah.
Like,
he's a monster.
Like 100% associated, because I was like, oh, he's just a dick. He's just an evil character. And I was like, no, he's not. He's not evil. He's just a sociopath.
Yeah.
Like, he's that's like the problem.
An ultimate arsehole.
Yeah. Because he's not even, I mean, he's a little bit narcissistic. So basically he's me. He's a narcissist and he's a sociopath. but he... self... deprecating humor. That was a joke.
Interesting.
Although I will say, if it's said to you about you by 5 separate people, we should probably look into it. Anyway, so anyway,
spiraling.
Again, that was a joke. He doesn't understand feelings. So that's if people don't know what sociopath is, it's someone who doesn't understand emotions, basically. He
very manipulative as well. Like, they are manipulative.
Well, some of them are, some of them aren't. So there are like different types and levels, but on a fundamental level, it's like you can't understand how your actions or affect other people's emotions or how they come to conclusions or how why they feel certain things. And looking at his like choices and things, like that's what he is. He's a sociopath. He can't understand people's reactions to things, and that's what's led him to being very alienated, not having any friends, not really being connected to his family, all these things. He's a very hard character to play. Sometimes it's
a
not
rough
very
ride.
Fun.
Yeah, you've had a rough time playing him for a while.
And that's the second character of mine that's been like that.
So, not like a sociopath, though. Like, you've had
like a hard time to play.
You had a depressed character, and then now you've had a depressing character.
So what that says about me, I don't know.
Interesting.
We'll leave that there. We'll leave that for my therapist.
Probably the best.
Maybe I should just send my therapist all our D&D recordings.
Just record them all.
Listen to these and then tell me what's wrong with me. Anyway, he... again, humor. I haven't seen a therapist for over a year.
You're doing well.
Anyway. why does this always happen when I'm talking to you? Anyway, he's kind of alienated himself. And so we've got to this point in the story where, so he thought he was like the main figure in this, prophecy. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And then he found out that that's not real. Like, that's not true. It's not him.
Which was a massive breaking point, I think, in some ways. Yeah.
It was like just his whole understanding of his life and all of the choices he'd made were like came crashing down on him.
Yeah, the rug got pulled from underneath him, basically.
Massively, And then he found out he was being manipulated his entire life.
Yeah.
By Vecna.
Yeah.
Who had basically seen him and gone, you're an upstart wizard. I'm going to use you to for my better gains. So then he kind of like handed himself over to Vecna and said, look, I'll do what you want if you give me what I want.
Yeah.
Which was a way to start again. So his plan was to become a lich, finish the mission, stop Tiamat, because that's the plot of Tyranny.
Yeah.
And die doing it. Air quotes, die.
Yeah. And just reset.
Reform as a lich. Yeah. And then his history goes down as a good person and he can start again and have a new life. That was his plan. Emro, who's Wesley's character, is his only friend, and even then, I'm not really sure they're friends anymore.
I would say not.
I think she would say they are. Yeah. He doesn't think they are.
No.
Because of how he's treated her. He changed her memories, modified her memories.
And
then she found out by pure chance because she had a remove curse kind of thing done on her for something else. But he told her this plan, and she said, that's a mistake. You're denying your family a connection with you, like people that know you and love you. And he's like, people don't love me, etc., etc., etc. Anyway, last session,
we had a rough time as a party.
Yeah, we've had a couple of rough sessions, actually. I think the last time we talked about Tyranny, we talked about your character being taken over by the mind.
We did, that's true.
That was pretty intense.
Faye is a rough place to be.
It's mental. So we're in Thay. We've been there for about 7 days in game time.
Yeah.
And we got to the end of the session. We're being asked to go into the Doom Vault, which is the main dungeon from the Dead in Thay adventure, Reclaim's adventure. It's in the Tales from the Yawning Portal book.
Yeah.
And to help the Thayan resistance fight back against Az-Tarm, who is the Lich Lord of Thay. There's loads of lore here. If you know what I'm talking about, it makes sense. If not, don't worry about it. It's not relevant. Basically, a rebel alliance is trying to fight against the Emperor. That's what's happening in Thay.
Yeah.
And they want us to help. And obviously, Thay's run by wizards, so there's wizards everywhere. And Orlo's got there, and every step of the way, he's been, like, barred access to stuff, and people have been, like, kind of jarring to him, and he's realized why people hate wizards and hate him. Because they're all just doing what he would do.
Yeah.
Right? So he's turned up and he's spent 7 days there and he's gone, I hate this place. Like, everyone's an asshole. And now I'm realizing that everyone thinks I'm an asshole. And like, this place is just awful. And
it's almost like a giant reflection back on himself, right? Like, it's like a vision into himself almost. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Because I remember,
ride.
Before we went to Thay, you were like, Orlo was like, yes. This is going to be my jam. I'm going to love it there.
Especially because he's just turned into a lich as well.
Yeah, so exactly. Like, you thought you'd be like adored there and he'd fit
right in.
Yeah. And it was not the case.
No, not the case at all. He was very ignorant to it all. And anyway, so he's asked for things. Like he said, like, well, give us this. And they're like, no, we're not going to tell you anything. Just trust our word. And so it's kind of come to a breaking point. When he turned into a lich, he got new flaws and personality traits and things. And he also immediately realized when he woke up that he'd made a mistake.
Yeah. So becoming a lich. Yeah.
Yeah. He kind of woke up and went, oh, this isn't nice. I don't like this. Whoops. And he knows he can't undo it. And he's like, God, I, you know, he's just reassessing. He's basically having a midlife crisis.
I wonder how many liches that happens to. I mean, like, that's probably a lot of them wake up and go like, fuck, what have I actually done?
It's a very extreme thing to do. And yeah. I think that's why most liches are depicted as evil, because I think that they have to be wizards who are so set on their plans mm-hmm. and so focused on their goals that they will do anything. And it doesn't matter yeah. if it's a bad experience. Like, it's yeah. above everything else.
Yeah, the task in hand is more important than me and my feelings, yeah.
But when you look at Orlo, like, his task was to start a new life, and he's gone, oh, I actually don't like this. How am I going to live like this? Yeah. So, anyways, we're stood there, and this contact in Thay said, right, you're going into the Doom Vault, and Emery's like, yep, and your character Ivan's like, yep. And I was sat there, and I went, no. Yeah. No, I'm not going.
This was just after we had barely escaped from being killed.
Like, killed, yeah. captured, tortured yeah. for all of our information. Yeah. yeah. And there is a plot story reason. Like, they want us to, the Sword Coast want us to help the Thayans do this so that they will to help revolt, us in the yeah. fight against
yeah.
Tiamat. And also they're going to give information about some plot to invade the Sword Coast. And Orlo's just gone, where's your proof, mate? Like,
this doesn't even exist, yeah.
He's like, I'm telling you this. And he says, "That's you're just giving me verbal, like there's no physical evidence." And then he's gone, well, you've just got to take my word on it. Like, here's, yep. there's this location. And Orlo's gone, I've never heard of that location before. I don't even know if that place exists. Like, I don't yep. want to do this. Like, what am I getting out of this?
What's the game? Yeah.
And he's said all this to Emro. Ivan doesn't really have an impact on Orlo in the nicest way possible because they're not friends.
We don't, they are like, they're like the colleagues. Two people in the office. Yeah, they are colleagues. They're like two people in office that pass and just go, yep, here's this information, there's that information. Like, they have no, they don't really care for each other, but not in a negative way. They just like don't really want to interact.
It's like, if you die in this mission, like, it's
yeah,
not
break it's my no back, loss like, to me. Yeah.
Yeah. But I need you to help me with it.
Yeah.
So anyway, he turns to Emro and says, I don't want to do this. And she says, well, I'm going in. And Orlo turned to the contact and said, give me 24 hours. If I'm not back in 24 hours, I'm not coming.
Yeah, because Emro has a stake in Thay as well.
She's been, like, promised a new life and a really good job as a Zolkir and, like, all this stuff. And Orlo said that to her. He was like, you've got skin in the game. I don't. I'm getting nothing out of this. And he teleported out. He said goodbye. He didn't give her a chance to even say anything. He just said, look, if I don't see you again, I don't understand, and I'm sorry. And I am sorry, and I know you don't understand, but I am. And it doesn't feel like it, but I am. I'm going. And he teleported. Like, Wesley literally went to open his mouth, and I went, he teleports out. I was like, he's out, he's gone, he's not waiting. Because he knows she could probably change his mind.
Yeah.
And that was the end of our session, and I sat there and just went, oh, okay. I guess that's what he wanted, because I didn't plan for any of that. I fully had, you know, I was expecting him to go all the way to 20th level, to finish the adventure, die in this massive way, and that would be
that was the plan.
His story. That was what I was doing with him, and it all just happened like in the moment. And I want to talk about. I know we've talked for like 15 minutes about you know, backstory, but I want to talk about that because that has happened twice to me now, where my characters have made these autonomous decisions where I've not had any input on them. Like, they've just happened.
You just flow into it,
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, to sum it up, my mum called me the next day. I was talking to her, and she went, oh, how was your game last night? Like, she knows I played D&D and all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a great relationship with my mum. My therapist is really proud of it. So, second joke about therapy, guys. It was another joke. I said, like, oh, my character... I said, yeah, it was a good game, but it was a bit sad. My character decided to leave, and I wasn't expecting that to happen, so I've got to make a new one now. And she went, oh, right. Okay. Like, kind of sitting there going, you make the choices. And I'm like, no, I don't. This person I've imagined that doesn't exist makes the choices in my brain.
Weird. It is weird, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm not insane, I promise, Mum.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's kind of how I sum it up. And I don't know. How, like, have you had that? Do you feel that? Yeah, like, am I absolutely insane? Am I crazy?
I mean, the thing that I think, I mean, a similar vein was when I was playing Cassius, is that the reason why he clashed so much, I think, is because I leaned into how much of like a monster he actually was all the time. And that's like not my normal character at all as well. Like, it's very different to like Dalen, completely opposite to Cassius. Mm. And Ivan as well, very, very different. Ivan is a monster, but in a very different way.
yeah.
Yeah, Cassius is like manipulation side of thing, and the fact he grated so much on Wolfgang was, tooting my own trumpet here, but a testament to how well I played that character in that sense, because he really grated on Wolfgang. And I miss Cassius, but I'll do.
He can come back. Come back anytime. he'll just have no legs.
And no arms.
Dave, there's magic for that. Yeah. All right. Maybe one day.
We'll see.
We'll see. Well, we'll find out if you will die on Saturday.
Yeah. If Dalen dies, maybe.
yeah. we'll find a way. It kind of boggles my mind and sits with me how much this game is unlike anything else.
Yeah.
That we can say, oh yeah, I didn't expect the thing that I'm fully in control of to do a thing that I didn't know that was an option in their mind. Yeah. Like, that whole idea of like having a separate brain. There's this really good book called Top 7 Games You Can Play in Your Head by Yourself, mm-hmm. or something like that. We've spoken about it before.
Yeah, yeah.
And in that book, it's the idea is that you play these kind of imaginative games, and in that book, you have an exercise where you have to create a safe space, like a building or a hideout, a base. Yeah. Go in, like walk around it in your mind and see it all, and then you come out and you let your shadow self go in and steal something. And the idea is that you have to go in and find out what they've stolen without knowing what they've stolen.
Yeah.
It's your imagination, and it's such a weird concept, but I feel like that's exactly what's happening. Yeah. When we talk about our characters,
it really can mess with your head when you do stuff like that. It's a real, like, weird experience. Yeah,
so cool. And it's like, it's it, like those games are like meditation, because you kind of just sit and imagine stuff for so long.
It's like a spirit walk almost in that same
So I don't know, man. I don't really have a point to this. I just wanted to talk about it.
It is like, wild. Like, I think that's the thing with like role-playing games in general, is that it's such an I think you've got to be the right person. Like, you've got to be a bit of a theater nerd to begin with to kind of go down this path. And once you lean into it and fully immerse yourself, and like that's why I say to you all the time, like, and I mentioned this loads to you as my DM, I always say immersion is such a big thing for me. Like, it's such a massive part of it. And if I don't have that, it ruins the experience, like, for me completely.
Yeah, it's the same for me. That's why when I, like we're planning this in-person session on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I said to you guys, like, look, I've really thought about how we're going to do the audio situation, because we've got Ray America. Like, I've decided we're all going to have headphones on, and it means we're just going to have to, like, be careful about how we talk to each other in the room.
Yeah.
Because I've made all these playlists and they're super immersive and I need them. Like, I get really peed off when players go, oh yeah, but I've muted the Bard bot. And I'm like, why? I spent so long on the immersion playlist. because for me, like, that brings me into, like, when we do a big fight and there's heavy metal music, that's like a big fight. And when someone dies, there's sad music. And so I'm big on that too.
Yeah. I'm very excited, but very nervous for this fight.
Oof, do you want to go down that segue? Do you want to talk about that?
Let's talk about that.
I love, side note, this is a bit meta-y, but I love that this show, Tavern Talk, is just a chat show. Like, I imagine it as the D&D version of Graham Norton. you're Graham in that sense, by the way. Just that is a compliment, I promise. Absolute legend and icon, that man. So, yeah, we're playing we've been calling it the finale. It's not the finale of the campaign.
It's like the like the act finale, like the
season finale.
Yeah.
It's the end of Act 2 of the campaign, and it's the fight with Aserak in Tomb of Annihilation. So if you're playing the module, it's like one of the last sessions.
Yeah. And it's like the second to last session, probably, if you were playing the module, right?
Yeah, maybe like the third to last. Yeah. But to many, it is the last because they die. So we have got this amazing board and game piece and minis and things that you've made that look incredible, and
thank you.
Obviously I've seen them because
I've been helping paint them as well,
I'm a DM, so I've had to give you all the designs and stuff, and basically, you know, you've had to ask questions and stuff, and they look amazing, and I cannot wait, like, beyond anything we've ever used in person.
I'm so hyped
for it. And then we've got everyone here in person except for Ray, who obviously is in a different continent, who's joining online. So we've got a digital setup, like microphones.
Got a plan. Yep.
Oh my god! Like the the thing that makes this for me is that last weekend I got everyone together on a call for an hour to talk about the logistics, the timing, the management of it all, the organization, and then to get us all back into character, because it's been 4 months since we've played.
Yeah.
And I think I said to you all at the end, just step back for a second and look at how ridiculous it is that five of us have got together to have a meeting to plan and organize a D&D session in 2 weeks' time, and how mental that is, and how geeky we are. And I love it, and I love that we will take it that seriously.
But
this fight is going to be insane, and I've been doing that thing, I think I said this on last week's episode, I've been doing that thing where I just kind of think about the
play over in your head.
Just think about it all. Non-stop.
Discord just messed up then. What did you say?
It had a little moment, yeah. I've just been thinking about it non-stop, and getting into the zone, and now I'm thinking about like what happens next and where the stories are going and all that stuff, and it's really hyped me back up. But the fight, oh mate, I want to tell you.
Yeah.
There's so much, like,
because I've been careful about asking you things as well. Like, I've been really, like, cautious because I don't want to ruin it for myself. Like, I know a lot of things. Like, we've just had to discuss stuff because there's certain things
like
I need to know.
Yeah, like, you know...
Oh.
Discord had another moment. It's telling us to wrap up the podcast. It's like, Ben, stop. You're going to give away secrets. It's like I've told you, like, which parts of the maps are interactable because you've had to make them... on the map,
interactable. It's gonna be amazing.
I wanna say something, but I don't know if I should. Well, it's fine, it's only you, no one else is here.
Fine,
no one's gonna listen to this before Saturday,
probably not.
No one's gonna listen. No, none of my friends listen to my podcast anyway. our podcast. So, one I think you already know.
Okay.
My Aserak obviously is different from...
Yeah, I know that one, yeah.
And the most important thing, and if you're running TOA, you can get this my DM document on...
Yes, it's on our Patreon.
And I have actually altered Aserak a little bit from that document.
Interesting. So we could release that possibly afterwards? For the patrons?
Although it's in note form, I'd have to update the actual stat block. It's only one kind of thing I've changed. And I'll tell you what it is in a minute. So my Aserak has 2 ninth level spell slots.
Yes, we've discussed that. Yeah, I remember you saying this.
Which is terrifying.
Very.
He has his to counter his magic and dispel his magic.
Yeah.
You roll for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're beating his spell save DC.
Yeah.
Not just rolling 10 plus the spell level.
Yeah. Like an abjuration wizard.
So it's harder.
Yeah.
But then he also has a reaction ability that he can do, which I believe, without looking, is named Indomitable Magic or Indomitable Casting or something like that.
Like the fighter skill.
Yeah, kind of. Or it's like Immovable Magic or something like that. And it's as a reaction, which obviously is a very costly thing for a wizard because you can counter things with your reaction. Yeah. And you can use shield as a reaction. As his reaction, he can raise his spell save DC by 5.
That's wild.
Wild. And I checked with Wesley, because Wesley's our caster. Yeah. I quietly, sneakily went, oh, Wes, what's your max roll?
What's the highest you can roll?
On a spell check. And he was like, oh, it's 29. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I think his plus is like 7 or something.
Okay.
So he can beat him even with that plus 5.
But it's crit.
It's hard.
Yeah.
And then he's got spells like, there's a certain spell in Xanathar's Guide to Everything that he has.
If you turn Dale into stone, I'm going to have a meltdown. Do you realize this?
I do not have any abilities that turn into stone. He might have flesh to stone.
If he has flesh to stone, do not, please, I beg of you, do not cast it.
Look, we've just spent a whole 30 minutes talking about how our characters make decisions we are not aware of, and if Azerac turns up and he casts flesh to stone,
he immediately casts flesh to stone on me, I will have a breakdown.
I can't say, I'm not him. He will make his own choices.
For those long-time listeners, you probably heard me crying about how much Ben has turned every single one of my characters to stone. And also,
it is kind of weird that every single character you've played in my games has turned to stone. It is strange.
Side note on that, I have the most deaths in the campaign and I joined the latest.
I mean, look, if your choices have led you to where you are, I can't help that. Okay, I told you coming in this outrageous. Was a deadly campaign.
Outrageous.
I do fully expect everyone to die on Saturday.
I know you said I'm not pleased about it, and I think we're stronger than you think we are. I mean, you know we're strong, but I think that we are. I have a lot of abilities that I've not used yet.
This is true, but you forget that I make encounters, get cakewalked by you for years, and then I go, okay, cool. So I need to make it stronger than that, and now we're here. Like we're like I mean, that's all I have for you. I don't think it's possible.
I can do full flying werewolf mode now, so you know.
David, we're at the point where I don't think you're going to get a turn. Like, I'm genuinely serious. I think. What's your max HP?
My max HP.
Yeah.
115.
I think maybe you'll get a round.
Okay, that's enough.
No. I don't think it is, David.
I think it is.
I don't think it is. I think I fully expect Osley's
going to die immediately. We all know.
And
this.
Maybe Braylar go down as soon as Azerac turns up.
Depending on what happens with that first spell.
Yeah, but I've just told you how hard it is to be countered.
Yeah, well.
We'll see. There is a minute chance that it happens.
I mean, you said the fight will continue in a sense that, like, right?
What do you mean?
Like, I've not built this map for nothing.
No. Because this whole map is for the fight with the Atropole, the Soulmonger, and Azerac. Like, Azerac is
a late-coming thing.
Yeah, later. if you die instantly from Azerac, you've still probably spent a good 3 hours on this map.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Don't
unless
make
you
me
guys,
I will
unless you
break.
Absolutely catewalk the Atropole, and then I can't help you.
I mean, possible.
It is possible. But anyway, we've completely gone off subject.
I don't know what time are we on?
like half an hour, so we've done quite well.
Okay, we're doing good.
I don't know if there was a point to this topic, but it's just something I wanted to talk about.
It doesn't have to be a topic episode.
But like the autonomy of characters is weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Weird and wonderful, I would say.
Yeah, you know what? The one moment that I had with Ivan was when he did the weird when he switched, like there was like that switch flicked when he went into full like, this is my job. Yeah. I'm gonna do this mode, which was fun.
Yeah. Did you messaged me after that session as well that we had last week?
Yeah, I did.
And you were like, did you message me? It was something
I was like, I did not expect that to happen.
and I was like, me neither.
Let me find
out. Do you wanna know Orlo's plan now? Because I've spoken to
Yeah,
James
I do.
About it.
I do.
Okay.
We talk too much, I can't find it.
We chat all the time. God, why are we so friendly? He's teleported to see Kauri, Joe's old character.
Yeah, I remember you saying that, yeah.
is not a friend. He's a colleague and a benchmark for Orlo, and they're gonna have a good chat. And he's basically gonna tell him to.
Have you spoke to Joe?
Briefly.
About this. That's fun. Yeah.
So basically, Kaori's gonna say, "I understand what you're saying. I understand where you're coming from. Thank you for all the information. I'll do what I can with it, but you have an obligation to finish what you started."
Really? That's interesting.
Pretty much. So Orlo then goes to his mentor, Kumar.
Yeah.
The last time they met, he told him that if he goes through with it, Lichdom, he will never come near his family ever again. Kumar won't let him. And Orlo thinks so highly of Kumar, the man who taught him when he was a boy.
Magic, yeah.
That he's like, this guy is, you know, always going to be above me. I don't think he thinks that anymore, but he thinks of him as a very powerful, powerful wizard.
Do you know how powerful he is? Like, as a out game, you don't.
No, interesting. No idea. He was a retired war wizard when he first met Orlo. So he'd been out of the game for a little while. But yeah, so he goes to him and he says, look, here's everything that's happened. Here's everything I think. Here's everything I understand now. You were right. I was wrong. I just want to say goodbye. I'm going to go and repent. Then he goes to see his family. Philippe, you know, alters itself and whatever. He's going to give them basically all the money he has in the world.
Because
they're, you know, not rich.
Simple farmers, yep.
Yeah, have as much of a connection as he can. They'll probably understand that something's happening.
Yeah.
But he won't tell them what. And then he's going to go to Candlekeep. Now, Orlo, in his backstory, James wrote this. This is part of how he found the prophecy. He's banished from Candlekeep. He upset Miram, the Sentinel Whim. She is a dragon spirit who is trapped in Candlekeep. He upset her. They became good friends, and
he broke the trust, basically. Yeah,
she saw herself in him with what he wanted, and the way he sought knowledge, and so he broke the trust and he lied to her to get into the prophecy room after she specifically said no, and she cast him out.
Yeah.
And the way I explained it to James was like, you know, when you have that ex who you've been broken up with for years, but randomly one day you're like, God, I really need to say these things to them. But you know that if you say those things, nothing will come of it. Like, you won't get the reaction you want. Two, you might not get a reaction. And three, it's not going to be. Like, it's just not good. It's not worth it.
Yeah,
you've got
all
this kind of stuff in your brain. He's like that with her. So he wants to go and say the things because he's, in his mind, he's never going to have that much chance.
Yeah.
Being a 16th level Lich Wizard of mythic variety, he will find a way into Candlekeep. James was like, yeah, that's easy for him to do. And he'll go to her and say the things he wants to say. And they will talk, and it's been decided, James, that Orlo will tell her his plan and say, if I can find a way, do you want to come with me? Because she's his only love, basically.
Yeah.
And his plan is to finish his requirements to Vecna, which is to stop Tiamat. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all he needs to do. Spend the next X many days leading up to the fight at the Well of the Dragons. Preparing himself for what comes next, which is creating his own dummy plane, which he can already do. Finding a way to free Miram, which James said he could do, and taking her to that dummy plane, because he said, yeah, I think she'd agree, she wants out of Candlekeep. He will then go to the well of dragons, fight in the final sessions of the campaign, so he will return at 20th level with you, and what will be in that fight. But after it, he will go to his demiplane.
And reside there, basically,
He will seal himself in.
Yeah.
So that he physically can't leave. Like, he's going to use magics to seal himself away for a certain amount of time. It's going to be a very long period of time. You know, 300, 400 years, something stupid, I don't know.
Yeah.
10,000 years was the joke that I said to James. Half joke. And he said, yeah, and then Miram can chastise you for as long as she wants, if she feels that's necessary, or you can happily live together or whatever. And I said something like, have cute little spirit dragonborn babies. And we both laughed. And that's it. That's his sad, sad journey. He's going to stay there and learn what it means to be a sociopath and how to understand people and life yeah. and make up for his mistakes. And we actually, Ray randomly jumped on the call when we were chatting to talk about, because obviously Ray's in this campaign, and he yeah. said, how cool would it be if down the line, like, I think of all those as an NPC, how cool would it be if it's like, oh, he went down in legend because he helped kill Tiamat. We need to go and get him from his prison mm-hmm. that someone imprisoned him in, because we need him for this big mission, this big yeah. invasion of whatever magic thing. And the heroes go and they break open his demiplane that's magically sealed. It takes them, you know, a big adventure. Yeah. And they get there and he turns around and says, you fools, I sealed myself away.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not good. And then they've unleashed this kind of, God knows what, depressed, manic, insane. Yeah. Or maybe
by this point
you repented, you know.
At this point you're like, your body is completely rotted away as well. Like, there you are.
And he won't have been able to explore as a demi-lich because he'd have locked himself in, but he will have complete control of his demiplane, so he can make it whatever he wants. So, you know, who knows? Who knows? But that's what's happening to him.
Yeah, very fun.
And now I've got to make a new character.
Yeah. Which you hate.
No, I like him.
No, you hate making a new character.
I hate making a new character. Yeah, I haven't actually rolled him up, but I have the backstory and stuff.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a very fun backstory.
It's very sad.
Yeah. Like most of your characters.
Classic
depressing Ben characters.
It's not that depressing. You hate it. You were like, oh god.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's a bit rough. But yeah, so I'm going to be playing an Oathbreaker Redemption Paladin,
mm-hmm.
who broke his oath to his daughter. The oath being that he would always be there to protect
it's so
her
rough.
And never do her harm. So ooh, ooh, it's sad. Did he kill his own daughter? Yes, he absolutely did.
Not the way you think.
No, he absolutely he had to do it. He had to do it. She was evil. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that another time. There you go. I've absolutely 100% here just come in and taken over your whole show and talked for 40 minutes and not let you say a single word. So thank you.
Fine. You needed it.
Thanks for being my therapist.
As always.
And there it is. The trifecta of therapy mentions. That's how you end an episode. Dave, take it away.
All right, thanks. Thanks for your time.
Oh, is that it? Is that the end?
That's the end of the episode, yeah. We didn't even, no bell ringing. That's it. We're done.
Oh, shit, we didn't ring the bell.
We'll ring it now.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding. The therapy bell.
If you want to, the therapy bell has been rung. If you want to come,
it's the doorbell for the therapist.
Yeah, here they are. They've come in for a drink. They need it after hearing me talk. if you want to join the server and come and talk to us, you can do that. And the Patreon and stuff.
Yeah.
I've finished my wine. I don't know if you can tell.
Thanks.
I love you.
Bye now.
Bye. Thanks again for joining us here on Tavern Talk. This show wouldn't be possible without our generous Patreon members, as well as our friends over at the Dice Dungeon, where you can pick up all your premium D&D and Dice Goblin essentials without paying a premium price. Plus, you can use code WESPEAKCOMMON at checkout and save 10% off your order. And the creative minds behind Describe, spelled D-S-C-R-Y-B, who provide game-ready box text, as you see in your favorite pre-written modules to help you tell your next epic story. Offering DM and player scenes to choose from, with more than 600 free scenes and over 10,000 scenes available with a subscription. You can try Describe tonight. And once you decide to subscribe to Describe, you can use code COMMON at checkout for 10% off every month for your first 2 years. Until next time, we'll keep the fire going for you.
Thanks for listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your platform of choice and share us with a friend or D&D group near you. If you'd like to directly support the network and the production of new shows like the one you heard today, head to the description of this episode or our social media pages for a link to our Patreon page. You can connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at We Speak Common.